And welcome back to the 10 o'clock hour, hour four of Rosie on the House, where we are currently airing 7 to 8 a.m. on a couple of our stations. Having a lot of fun doing that, waking up all of Arizona for the Garden Show, which we then run at 8 o'clock, and then we go open topic at 9 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, we always like to bring in a specialist and take one particular topic and drill down deeper in on it. So that those of you that are listening are becoming a more educated Arizona homeowner. It's our goal. It's our mission. Well, it's our vision that we would become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And we would aspire to do that by living our mission statement, where we are going to protect, educate, and entertain you, the Arizona homeowner, to keep you from making expensive mistakes in and about trying to get something done at your house, because the industry is full of things you could waste a ton of money on. And we've been talking today about indoor toxins. And if you were tuned in the 9 o'clock hour, my wife, sweet Jennifer, those of you who are regular listeners of the show know she's generally a pretty pleasant woman, but she tried to gross us out again today, much like she did a couple weeks ago with trying to convince us we should all be eating crickets as one of the more sustainable products that you could have, because they take less water than corn to grow. Go figure that out. I'm sticking with the corn. Okay, so, but we were talking about indoor toxicity. We were talking about just how toxic the inside of your house can really be. And many times, because us builders are forever striving to build a tighter and tighter and tighter home for energy efficiency reasons, we actually create an environment where the inside of our house can be five or six times as toxic as the outside of our homes. One of the reasons in particular, as Jennifer mentioned earlier, was for all the building products that include some building and or living products that contain some amount of formaldehyde, which is constantly off-gassing in your house. Well, there's also other things that can be off-gassing in your house that can be fairly dangerous. And so we brought in an expert on the topic, Mr. Bob Brown from Arizona Foundation Solutions, who have recently kind of engineered a new solution to what is a very old problem. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
You betcha.
And we're talking about radon, and kind of an interesting story of the whole topic in general, how it was originally discovered, even being in our homes.
That's right. Back in the, I believe, 1980s. I mean, basically what happened is people were coming to work that worked in nuclear facilities, and they wanded them and found out, hey, you got radioactive coming in. How's that work? So they followed them to their house, and sure enough, they had radioactive radon gas in their house.
Talk a little bit about what radon is, and I don't think many people really give it the weight it deserves in how dangerous it really is.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, lung cancer from radon kills more people than drunk driving, 21,000 deaths a year. So that's a huge statistic, and radon is a naturally occurring element that is a result of the decay of uranium. So it's all around us, and it happens. And like you said, when you build up these tighter envelopes in the houses, you tend to have a stack effect, which the hot air goes up through the ceiling into the attic, and it's got to replace that air with something. It usually pulls it from down below, the foundation.
Yeah.
And if there's radon gas in those soils, it's going to pull them right up into the house.
It creates, you're actually vacuuming them, and to make it simplistic, you're vacuuming it up into the home.
That's right. You are creating a negative pressure, which pulls them right up in.
Yeah. And it's a shame that we really haven't been able to do very much with it. If you have it, we've been telling people, hey, just you've got to open your house up. You've got to have some air exchange all through the year, even in the middle of the summer when it's your air conditioning from 120 down to 74 degrees, even in the middle of winter when it's minus 10 outside, you're trying to warm it up to the mid-60s, you've got to open the house and ventilate it. But there's some actually very simple tests for determining if it's even a problem at your house. Don't worry about it. Let's do a simple test.
That's right.
With it.
I mean, the EPA, the CDC, and the Surgeon General, all three have suggested that every house be tested for radon. Every house. And it's not expensive. I mean, you can go down to Lowe's or Home Depot and get a little charcoal kit and put it in. There's more sophisticated tests. We have a continuously monitored radon device that prints out the exact amount over time. But ultimately, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be a very simple affair.
The little tests that you can buy at the big box stores and the hardware stores, you can also order them offline. They're under $20.
Right. They're not expensive.
And you simply just open them and leave them on a shelf somewhere in the house for a certain amount of time, seal it back up, mail it to the laboratory, and they send you the results.
Right. That's exactly correct. There are some kind of careful protocols you got to follow about where you place the device and how soon you send it in. Just follow the instructions like very, very, very carefully,
and you'll have
a good result.
They have the short-term test.
Right.
And if it indicates something, if you want to be more sure you don't have, then there's the long-term test, which is like a 90-day,
I
think.
90 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all about probabilities, really. You do a short-term test. Well, that probably tells you during that period of time, but what about the rest of the year? And it does make a difference what time of year you take the test.
Oh, absolutely. How many doors and windows you have open, how you're ventilating the house.
Right.
Listen, we've got Ray, who's calling from Gold Canyon, who has a situation we want to bring into the conversation. Let's talk to him about it and see if there's something we can help solve there at the house. Good morning, Ray. Thanks for calling Rosie on the house.
Morning, Rosie. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Tell me what you're fighting at your house, man.
Dust. Yeah. Now, your regulation Arizona dust is like tan brown dust, right?
Right.
Okay. My home, I bought brand new 10 years ago, and the builder told me, and he was right, that it was a specially insulated home, and the AC and heating unit, gas heat, electric AC are up in the attic, and they insulated the attic with blown-in cellulose up against the actual roof of the house, not against the ceiling of the living quarters or the deck of the attic.
Okay.
Now, when I climbed up there to look at it, there were piles, like bigger than a full-size laundry basket of that dry cellulose insulation just sitting up there on the deck where it had fallen out before they got it stapled up or whatever. Now, the insulation factor that they talked about must work because there are no vents up in that attic at all to the outside
world. Right.
And my electric bill in a 1,755 square foot house is $120 a month, 12 months out of the year.
Can't beat that.
No, and the attic has never been hot when I've gone up there. It can be in the middle of summer, and it's the same temperature as the rest of the house, so I'm happy with that. But the problem is this. We took all the carpet out of the house, and we clean it and vacuum it, and I spend the extra money for the $18 filters for the AC, change them every 3 months. But the house fills up with this funky gray dust that looks for all the world just exactly like the stuff that's in the attic. So I had a guy come in and he caulked around all the canister lights, AC vents, and exhaust fans, turned on all the lights down here, any kind of a bead of light he saw.
Good.
He caulked it. I still got mountains of dust. I mean, in weird places, like the very tippy top of the toilet bowl, in a room, in a little bathroom off to the side that has no vents in it. Every 2 days, you can pull your finger across there, and you get a quarter-inch circle of this gray dust.
Does that particular bathroom have an exhaust fan in it?
Well, they all have an exhaust fan in them.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be my prime source of suspicion right there.
Well, I checked that baby out. I had the guy go up there, and there's no daylight coming around it, and it's got a metal pipe that goes all the way up to a S curve to keep the water out, and then it goes out the top of the roof. I don't see how it can become. But anyway, it's in every single room, every ledge, every place. And now I came down with lung cancer, and I'm thinking, how'd that happen? And the wife has got a dry cough, and I'm beginning to think this house is trying to kill us.
Well, that's exactly the topic we're covering today, Bob.
Even the dog's got a cough.
Even your dog has a cough. Oh, no. Well, I would say the first thing, given we now have cancer in the home, is we would need to have Ray do a simple radon
right.
test.
Right. I mean,
for
that's
sure.
The simplest and easiest thing. Do it. It's cheap, easy, quick. Just get a radon test.
Do that, and let's determine if we're fighting radon in the house or not. And then as far as the constant layer of dust just forever everywhere, that you're battling it the right way. I mean, whoever crawled up in the attic and used the lights on inside the house was doing exactly the way we would do it. I would start checking all of the ductwork. I would start checking every seam. I would start... Even if it took expandable foam spray on the outside of the ductwork, depending if it's flexible duct or if it's rigid duct, that the ductwork would be the next place, Ray, I'd start really investigating. I tell you what, get to a hardware store or just Google radon test kits and get a little test kit. Let's get it tested, verify whether we do or don't have radon. If we do, we're going to treat this problem in one way. If you don't, we'll treat it a completely different way. But you get that test and get back in touch with us. You ought to be able to do that within 30 days. And we'll send somebody out, and the dust police, and see if we can't round that up and figure it out. We have fought this battle with several well-built homes that the folks will actually come back at the end of the summer for a home that's been closed up all summer, and it'll have a quarter inch of dust everywhere.
Wow.
And boy, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of resources solving some of those problems. They are not always easy to find. When we get back, more with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions, talking about radon detection and elimination at your house, as well as foundation failure. Heaving or settling? Which is it?